Welcome to this Wednesday's Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. Most people fear a number of different things or have a tendency to be afraid of one thing or the other. Bishop Dag Heward Mills today will dispel the most commonly held fears by teaching on how God will ultimately deliver us from all our fears. Through fear, we live in bondage, but today's word will teach us that with God on your side, we don't have anything to fear so long as we trust in Him. Be encouraged by today's message.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We pray for the spirit of humility and revelation as we approach your word, that we may obey your word, flow in your word, and receive your word as you minister to us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are studying the pastor's voice, your pastor's voice, and we want to continue. We will be ending between this week and next Sunday, God willing. We should be able to end this by Sunday, next week Sunday. So let's move on. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, it says, I will give you pastors after my own heart, according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding, all right? Knowledge is the word dear. Knowledge is the word dear. And the other word, it means to have knowledge, to have an opinion, and to be learned. And the word sakal is the word what? Understanding. Are you there? Knowledge and understanding. And sakal, it means to be circumspect. It means to become intelligent, to cause, to consider, to become an expert, to become skillful, to have good success, to make somebody understand, to make a person wise, to make a person behave wisely, and to guide a person wittingly, all right? So, in other words, when you come to church, you are being made wise. Amen. How many want to be made wiser? Can you lower the bass, if there's any bass in the thing? Then take the next level up from the lowest of the bass and reduce that one. All right? Hello, hello? Somebody should call Pastor Oko, please, from upstairs. Should come down and do this thing. Right. We've got a new mixer, so we are struggling. Allow us to get used to it. Amen. Now, where are we? Dear and Sakal, how many realize that you are being made wiser? Okay. Now, during the last conference we had with Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, I had a few minutes privilege to talk with Mike Murdoch. How many have heard of Mike Murdoch? Yeah. Very famous pastor, and he's very good at, he's very much into wisdom and things like that. So I had a few minutes. Always take the opportunity to have a few minutes with a great person. Amen. And in the few minutes that he spoke, I almost burst out laughing at a point, because I couldn't believe the amount of wisdom. I wanted to record what he was telling me. You know, he was just talking and he was giving wisdom. So much wisdom. And he said something that people like inspiration more than information. But inspiration does not help anyone and does not take anyone forward. But it's information which takes us forward. And he spoke about, he was telling me, talking about teaching, he said, you must understand that. He said, with teaching, right, the more you hear something, no, he said, what you hear repeatedly, you begin to understand. He said, what you hear repeatedly, you begin to understand. You know, I just remember a few of the things he said. But as I was speaking with him, I realized more and more that the problem that we have in Africa is not one of a lack of inspiration. We are very inspired people. We are happy. People who live in Europe and so on would be happy to have the inspiration that we have and the joy that we have. We don't have anything, we are happy. They have everything, they are not happy people. Man, you can't compare the joy that is in Ghana to the joy that is in America or Europe. I mean, we are very happy people. Are you listening to me? But what we don't have is information and knowledge. We cannot make wheelbarrows. We import wheelbarrows. We import what we eat. I look at the vastness of our nation and I marvel. Because some of you think you've been to Kumasi, so you've seen the whole of Ghana. Ghana is very, very, very large. It's vast. After you go on the main road that goes to Kumasi, you turn right or left, and then you are getting into Ghana. You get what I'm saying? It's just a short strip of road. The country is full of land and people scattered all over in little villages. We cannot make enough rice to feed ourselves. We import beef. We import cows, meat. We don't have enough. What is it that it takes to be able to have enough meat for ourselves? This one, we are not talking about an invention. The car has been invented already. It's there. Chicken. Pray about the chicken before you eat it. The one that we import, I doubt whether they eat. The white people eat what they send us. Most parties and people, they go and buy these chicken thighs and all. They are all hormonally expanded chicken pieces with all sorts of foot and mouth disease and mad cow disease and mad chicken disease that they can't eat. And they bring to us. So me, I tell my wife that she should only buy Daku Farms, the real chicken that you see it moving in town. That's the one that you should buy. Don't buy the one that is in the freezer. Because for all you know, you are eating vultures. Or you are eating something else. I confirm. Are you still around? Too bad. Sound is too bad. Go back to what you had before. Now, what is the key that will make us move forward out of our situation? I'm not talking about us inventing a car, but just to make rice. The people who make the rice, who farm the rice and who will sell the rice will be employed. And we have the land. And we have the seeds. I don't know. Chicken. Meat. So ladies and gentlemen, we have now become hippie. A hippie country. Hippie. Man. Nigeria will say hippie. Highly indebted poor. Man. And we are highly endowed and rich. Oh. The key or the difference is better now. The key or the difference is knowledge. Wisdom. You see, we have a problem with our land system. I was just speaking to somebody from our church in Takwa. And I was asking him about the land. We are trying to buy land there to build a church building in Takwa. Now he said that the town and country man at Takwa says that the land is land that we can build on. But the head office also in Takwa, he says that land is for Ministry of Health. And then the chiefs in Takwa also say that the land is for them and that they are selling the land. So that is why there's no development, because there's a big problem with the land. Is that not so? So now three people are laying claim to the same piece of land. And at the end of the day, the whole country loses. Now it needs wisdom, pragmatism, a practical person without a lot of theories, to come down to the land and share the land properly and pay the people or whatever it is and solve the problem. Otherwise, we are in darkness. That's why our church, we don't buy land. People have offered us land to buy many times. I mean, anybody who is going to buy land and comes to ask me, Bishop, I'm going to buy land. I'll advise you, unless you are going to start the project tomorrow, don't buy the land today. You will buy a debt. You will buy a problem. So what do we need? Amen. What do we need? Knowledge. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to come out of a difficult or impossible situation and move ahead. It's not that God has not given us the ingredients. The ingredients are, it's like somebody is in the kitchen. If you put me in a kitchen with tomatoes, onion, oil, ginger, rice, I still cannot make the jollof rice that you are talking about. What I will make, you cannot eat it. It will be like red rice water, a reddened type of rice water. So, wisdom is the ability to put this fact, this factor, this issue, this tomato, on a, and convert the thing into something good. And when the Bible says that God is going to give you pastors after your own heart, who will be able to feed you with knowledge and understanding, he's saying that he's giving you pastors and through your church. You see, this is what people do not realize. Some people ask and say, you know, what is the use of a church? What is the use of, unless the church builds a school, unless the church, that is a, the church is of no use, unless the church makes a borehole or electricity and so on, the church. No. People don't understand. You see, we would teach against coup makers. We would teach against coup d'etats and all these kind of adventures. We take us nowhere. But rather lead us to become the highly indebted poor countries after 20 years. That is where this quixotic adventure has brought us to. Do you know Don Quixote? Very strange person. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying something to you that coming to church feeds you with ability to be wise. Ability to be wise, to think. You keep coming. You keep listening. You buy tapes. You soak them in. Oh, man. Foolishness will go away from you. Look, let me tell you something. If you think that you are destined to be a poor, down, under person, you don't know about yourself. You don't know about God. You don't know about God. There's nowhere in the Bible where God raised up poor, highly indebted people. There's nothing like that. Anybody who followed God and followed his wisdom never became a poor and highly indebted person. Hip hip. Highly indebted poor people. Me! God is trying to raise you up to be something great. Look at Abraham. He chose him from his father's house. Look at what he turned into. Look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. Look at Joseph the prisoner. Joseph the slave. Look at Daniel the refugee, the castrated refugee. Look at all the guys that God chose and God used and God blessed. Didn't anybody become a highly indebted poor person? No. Nobody becomes hip-hip with God. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
And I'm telling you, even there are a lot of young people in this church who decided to go to school because they heard me preaching over and over and over again. Send your girl child to school. Go to school. Educate yourself. It is important. How many realize that what I'm saying is true? Yes. And you realize that just the same message that they are trying to send on that song that the 31st woman set up, that's the same message we are also trying to say. Send your girl child to school. Send yourself to school. Don't think you have arrived. Go to school. Educate yourself. It is important. That is God's wisdom. Before I even employ a pastor, I have people as pastor. I want them to go to school. I want them to be educated. I want them to have an education. I don't want them to just say, I'm called. You are called. It's nice. Go to school now. And after the school, still come back and say you are still called. And then we'll look at it again. God gives wisdom, understanding, knowledge, blessings. And so you come to church, you soak in it. I told you, this message I'm preaching about your pastor's voice is to make you listen to tapes. Yesterday, somebody sent me some tapes. You see, you people don't know the value of tapes. Somebody sent me some tapes from America. From somewhere. When I got the tapes, I just opened the package. I was wondering what package is this. So I just opened the package and I saw the tapes. And I picked the tapes and I look at what it was. Then a voice said in my, who is it who loves me? Who is it who cares about me? Because it's so precious to me.
My friend, a tape can make a difference in your life. You know why the Bible is a dark book to you? You know why the Bible has become your Valium? You know Valium? Sleeping tablet. You know why you read and you don't understand? Because you don't know the strategy to make you understand the Bible. I also feel sleepy sometimes when I read the Bible. Sometimes I find it boring when I read it. In fact, many times I find it boring when I read the Bible. If you want to read the Bible, do you want a key to know how to read the Bible so that the Bible can become meaningful? Because that's the knowledge and the wisdom is in there. The key is tapes. When you listen to a tape, they may mention a scripture. You know, like I'm preaching now, I'm talking about your pastor's voice. It give you knowledge and understanding. Man, when you hear this, is it really true? Then you take your Bible. Then you take the Bible. Then you go. Jeremiah, you read, you won't understand anything. But this one, you will understand Jeremiah 3:15. It's there. And suddenly, at least, Jeremiah 3, if by the grace of God, verse 14 too may make sense, and verse 16. So before you realize, you've got three verses that you understand. And suddenly now, you are beginning to be a knowledgeable person in the Bible. But you don't understand because it's a very deep book. And so you need help. That is why God has given us, Bible says God gave gifts to the church, pastors, teachers. What's the use of a teacher if you can teach yourself? What's the use of a teacher or a pastor if all you need is just the Bible? It's not true. All you need is not the Bible. All you need is not just the Bible. You got the Bible. And that's why these books that are available are a great blessing. You need to get them. You need to buy them. Tapes especially. And books. But I know Africans, we prefer to listen than to read. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, let us expose ourselves to wisdom and knowledge. Amen. When we expose ourselves to wisdom and knowledge, we will change. We will prosper. We will become wealthy. We will become blessed. We will be promoted. This is God's word. And I'm telling you, in the secular world, those who know things, they are better. Look at Japan. Japan was threatening us that if we join HIPIC, they won't help us again. And we are afraid. Why does Japan have power to even threaten that if you go to HIPIC, we'll help you? Because Japan knows how to make a video deck. They know how to make Hitachi video, Sony video deck, Sony television, Panasonic, Sharp. They know how to make sound systems, video, the CD players, amplifiers, record players, those of you who are older, record players, tape recorders, Walkmen. What's the plural of Walkman? A lot of Walkman is what? Walkmen, okay. Or Walkmans. It's debatable. We have to vote on that. They know all that. They know how to make Toyotas. We try to make a car Buafo. Is that not so? May we continue to make them. They know how to make... I can see the cars they made. Nissans, Toyotas. They are all lying outside. We buy the Mazda. We can't help it. We can't help going back to them. They have knowledge we don't have. Now, not even the knowledge, but how to assemble everything, lead everyone together and buy land so that you can make a factory. That one too is wisdom and knowledge. And then also their gods. Don't tell them not to develop. Well, they have a lot of gods. Some say, our problem in Africa is that we have a lot of fetish. It's not our problem at all. Our problem, because all over the world they have gods and whatever. But the problem is that our gods are not allowing us to develop. This is the thing. So we are not saying that we don't want to have these gods. We don't want them anyway. But if they are there, we accept that all these things are everywhere. But that God should allow us to score goals when we are going to score goals in a match. Excuse me. Did you see that thing on television? Soccer. You see, before we go to play, that's what I'm saying, that it's what we need is knowledge. I saw it on TV3. This one, I'm not TV3 news. Last a few days ago, They said that African soccer teams, when we are going to play, we have a lot of juju. So much so that when the players are coming in, the juju man or whoever will tell them that if they pass through the gate, the guys have put some agbala there. So the thing is not going to work. So you find a Hearts of Oak players will climb over the wall of the stadium to come into play. Man! When I heard that, I said, man! They climb up. I'm not telling you something that I think somebody told me. I'm telling you what I heard on the, you must have heard. How many heard that thing on the news? Yeah. They climb over the walls. And then they will refuse to use this changing room and refuse to use that changing room. And the most absurd one I heard was, they said that the man had told them that they will lose a match. They should allow themselves to lose the match so that they will win the return match. Everybody say me. So our team allowed them to score us to go for the return. I don't know whether it's Black Stars or Hearts of Oak or Kotok or something. And they went for the return and we were beaten mercilessly. Me. I said, look, whereas you see the Germans, the British, when it's halftime, they go and lie down and they give them drips. Drip with glucose and other things to give them energy, live energy. They'll be giving them drip energy, medicine, training, knowledge, and wisdom. And here we are using agbala. I was going to, for an exam, and I was with one guy, and he told me that he's doing some, he always used to make a sound. I said, hey, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm applying certain powers before I go for that. I said, man. So one day I said, what are you saying? Because I heard you say, Pipi, come and cut a gamali 20. I said, man, what is Pipi, come and cut a gamali 20? He will shake his head and do various things. Pipi, come and cut a gamali 20. And yet, bamabo. Oh, man. But all those things don't make us pass exams. They don't make us win matches. They don't make us score. I remember we were playing with Abidjan. There was the goalkeeper had put this thing inside the pitch, inside the goalpost, so that is the power that prevents us from scoring. Me, God does not expect us to close down our minds. And that is why I'm emphasizing so much on this, that God will give you wisdom and understanding. Wisdom. I pray for Kufo. I pray for these MPP people that if they don't apply pragmatic wisdom and real wisdom on the ground, this country is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into chaos. If they don't get wisdom to stabilize the country, they're going to raise the price of, electricity, water by 300%. That means that if you pay, 5,000, you are going to pay 30,000 or something crazy like that. How can we live? How can we live? But that is a reality. We have become a hippie nation. And we need God's wisdom. And I'm telling you, in your personal situation, perhaps things are not good. Your business, your this, your that. It is true that we need anointing. We need God's help. That's the white man also. He has also estranged himself from God. He has left God out of his life. We need God as well. But God does not expect us to close our minds. Say, okay, off. Switching it off. Why? God gave you the mind. That's the first gift he gave you. And then he's giving you other things in addition to the great intelligence that he has given to you. And he expects you to use it. He expects you to use your mind. Sometimes you see people wanting to take decisions in their life and they want to turn off their mind. And I tell them, look, if you want to cross that Kaneshi Road, Kaneshi Malam Road, you see the road, three lanes coming, three lanes going, beautiful NDC Road. Now, if you want to cross that road, for instance, and you stand at the foot of the road and say, Father, I pray for divine, superlative, and supernatural wisdom. Speak, O Lord, that I may know when to make a move. And you close your eyes. I feel it now. This is the moment. This is the moment. In Jesus' name. Bah! An omnibus will flatten you like a pancake. Because you are a fool. A big fool. Because you have decided to close your eyes. You have decided to turn off your mind, turn off your eyes. These are special gifts given by God. A mind, a brain, an eye, a pair of eyes, ears, to hear, to take decisions, to judge. And you have switched it off. Saying that you are relying on the Holy Ghost. And my pastor prayed for me on Sunday. So, 7:38, I'll cross the road. Omnibus will pass over you. Trotro will pass over you. Evan will pass over you. And somebody's Benz will come and flatten the last part. Because you've closed your mind. Don't turn off your... Look at the soccer. If they even... You are using their juju or whatever it is they are doing with it. I mean, what kind of... Some of the things we do are just... Are just amazing. And they do it in politics too. To win elections. Christians, let's grow up. I believe in prayer. I believe in the anointing. Look, I can tell you supernatural. During the fourth service, I'll be saying some of those things. There are supernatural things that exist. There are supernatural things that exist. I'm telling you. I'm a spiritual man. There are a lot of things that you don't know. People are dead before they die. People live before they live. There are a whole lot of things that are going on in the realm of the spirit. We don't deny that. But we shall not deny the existence of our brains. The difference between you and a chicken... What's the difference between you and the chicken? You see, when the chicken is in the house, he doesn't even know that he doesn't have accommodation. The chicken doesn't even know that he doesn't have accommodation. He doesn't even know his father or his mother. He came out of an egg. God gave human beings the largest brains. We have the largest brains, the most developed brains of all the animals. Next time you see a bird, you look, the brain is inside the head. So you see that you can have a chicken fat and big like that, but you see that the head is small. And that's the bone around. So the brain is small. That is why when you are feeding your chickens at home, you come and you give your chicken, the chicken is so high. It thinks you love him. But he doesn't know that Christmas is coming. So as you are feeding him, he's happy. He doesn't know that Christmas is coming. You are just feeding him to make him fat for Christmas. Because God gave them very small brain, but you gave you the mind. So creative, so intelligent, so creative, innovative. God gave you that mind. We are so intelligent. Amen. We have been able to, we can put this lady down on the operating table, remove her heart, take this gentleman's heart, remove his heart, put it in her, put hers in him, and both of them will be here on Sunday. Yes. And they will tell you, I have his heart and he has my heart. We are all moving. No problem. You'll be walking here like that. That's what a human being has been able to do. I can take my kidney and give it to you, give your kidney to me, and we'll be moving around. We can take livers out, change livers. I can take out the heart. The person will be like, I've seen it before, lying on the bed. No heart. The heart has been removed. I've seen it with my eyes. No heart. The heart has been taken out. Chest open. Heart out. Person is alive. You see people dying on the wall. They are not dead. They're keeping them alive. You won't die once they are there. Once they are there, they'll keep your blood pressure going. They keep you breathing. They keep your heart going. You are not dying. As far as they are concerned, sometimes they even paralyze you and take over. They take over the heart, take over the lungs. That's a human being. We can carry 450 people into the air and feed them, drinking tea and other things. They are all moving in there, drinking tea, carrying their suitcases, their luggage, their everything, drinking, eating, watching films, and people are changing channels. Man, that's a human being invention. They stand on the floor here, look up to the sky, see the sun, see the moon, and say, you see this moon? I want to walk on it. And they go there and they walk on it. We are here in Ghana. We can watch what President Clinton or Bush or Forrest or whoever is there is doing. Just this morning, we can watch it live. How intelligent we are. How intelligent we are. Why should we close our minds? My brothers and sisters, a person who passes by books, knowledge, wisdom, tapes, And God said, give me 2 meat pie, give me 3 domedo, give me 4 trophies instead of a book. Man, you don't understand what is up there. Buy the word. Buy, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it. Buy it. Let it be a passion in your heart. I'm telling you, that's what I do. I'm not telling you something, but I don't earn money from these tapes. I don't earn money from books. Why do you think I'm saying all these things to you? Don't think I have any benefit in it apart from your own benefit? Can't you see how we are in Africa playing football? Football, the 11, 21 players and the coach are climbing over the high wall. Falling down and breaking their legs, maybe. Because somebody told them that if you pass here, oh man, we've got a problem. God should help us. And that is why in this church, we are giving you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, understand. Do your business. Pray about it. Believe God. God will bless it. Ask for God's blessing. But don't turn off your mind. Tell somebody, don't switch off your mind from today. All right, so that was just an introduction, and I believe it's important. How many believe that it was an important introduction that you needed to hear? All right. Now, we've gone on to look at various things that the deer and sakal can do for us. Is that not so? All right. So, one of the important things that, what is the first thing that you get from the deer and sakal? Prosperity. Next one is establishment. Next one is what? Spiritual growth. And the next one is victory over your fears. Victory over fear. All right. Now let's look at Psalm 23, verse number 4. Man, it's hot. Psalm 23. Let's read from verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in, where? In green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's look at verse 4 together. All right, what does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. All right. Now, what are we human beings afraid of? Number one, let me give you a list of things that we human beings are afraid of. Number one, we are afraid of death. How many realize that human beings are afraid of death? Very good. No matter who you are, you have a certain feeling about death. Is that not so? You have a certain feeling about death. So number one is, there's a fear of death. Number two, there's a fear of evil. A fear of evil. All right. And number four, fear of tomorrow. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of the future. What's going to happen? And I'm going to show you that all these things are real fears that people have. All right. Then the next one is there's a fear of what life holds. Then the next one, a fear of disease. Then the next one is a fear of unexpected evils. All right. Now, these are things that we came into this life to meet. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 2. It says in verse number 13, have you got that? Now, God, through the pastor's voice, will deliver you from these fears. Now, somebody may say, oh, what is that? What are these fears? What are these fears? Amen. But I believe that God is going to help us to deliver us. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then, are you with me? You're still finding Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 2, are you there? Now we are on verse 14, okay? Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is
The devil. Number 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want you to underline that verse. That through fear of death, a whole lot of people are all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. Now, we as human beings live in fear of them. How many will agree that you have had fears in your life, at least in the past? Now, how many are still afraid of something? Some of the things that I mentioned. Give me a wave, give me a wave, give me a wave, give me a wave, give me a wave. Now, there are some things that are natural. You hear of something happening to somebody and you just think of yourself. And you just wonder, perhaps that could have been me. You know, that could have been me. When you hear of a Pan Am Airways that was bombed, you realize that maybe it could have been you in a plane. You hear of Ghana Airways crashing in Senegal, and you realize you could have been on the plane. You hear of somebody dying on the road at Nkoko, you realize that it could have been you. And so the fear of these things, the fear of the unknown, the fear of death, the fear of disease, the fear of the unexpected. You know, one of the things that we fear a lot is the unknown. What is in tomorrow? As people are getting married, they may be smiling, but there are also fears in there. What does tomorrow hold? Because we've seen people getting married and then they get divorced. We've seen people getting married and then one of them dies. We've seen people getting married and they can't have children. I mean, all sorts of things. So it's like, what does tomorrow hold? And so there are fears, and people, the Bible says that through fear, we live subject to bondage. That is why the soccer players climb over the walls. Fear of losing. That's another fear. Fear of poverty. All sorts of fears. Fear. Rich people are some of the most fearful people. People who have a little blessing. They think, what about this? What about that? What about if this happens? What about if that happens? What about if this happens? And what happened to my house? And to my car? And to my this? And to my that? That was Job's problem. Turn with me to Job. Let me show you. But God, through the voice of your pastor, will deliver you out of all these fears. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you how, you can be delivered from these fears. All right? Verse 1, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now, this man was from the east. What are the countries in the east? Major, what are the countries in the east? That's the Middle East. The East. China. Korea. Today, what are the Eastern countries? Japan. Is Russia in the East? Eastern Europe. Okay, but Far East. Japan, Korea. Huh? Indonesia. Thailand. Singapore. Hong Kong. China. Malaysia. Today, those countries are the richest countries. The East has always been a place for business. And the Bible is talking about the richest man from Japan. This man was probably Japanese. Are you listening to me? This man was from the East. And he was probably Japanese, Chinese, Malaysia, something like that. And he was very, very, very wealthy. He had everything. Family, he had a nice family too. Because some businessmen don't have a nice family. He had a nice family. Just a wife. And then he had children. And he didn't have all boys or all girls. He had daughters and he had sons.
And he didn't just have three or four. He had 10. 7, 3. I mean, 10 is the number of perfection when you are having children. Is that not so? Is that not so? And in those days, they didn't have a problem with family planning like we do. So it's like when you are doing, just do it well. Now, he had a problem and the devil attacked him. But I want you to see what he said at the end. Amen. He said, "What I feared greatly has come upon me." All right. Where is that scripture? Pastor, just check it out for me. All right. "What I feared greatly has come upon me." So you realize that, listen to me, Job had been afraid all along. Even though he was so blessed, he was afraid that what he had, he would lose. Are you listening to me? And he said that, I think, in Job chapter 2. He said, "What I feared greatly has come upon me." 3:25. All right. Yes. Verse chapter 3, verse 25. He says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Many of us are living in fear of this, fear of that, fear of this, fear of that. Now let's talk about death. How many want to be free from the fear of death? Let's just deal with that one so that you don't fear dying anymore. How many want me to deal with that so that by the voice of your pastor, death, you'll never be afraid of death again? Because you see, I travel a lot. I have to overcome the fear of death. Because there's death on the road all the time. And this Kumasi Road, look at this, Pastor Ashimolowo came to have a program here. Didn't come to do anything bad. Just came to bless us, come to preach to us, minister to the country, spend a lot of money blessing the country. And what does he return? You should have seen how sad he was. He's going back to London with dead bodies. Dead bodies. And apart from that, another pastor from Tema was also coming on the same road from the same program who died with his child. So you look on the road, you ask yourself, I say, if it can happen to a pastor, if it can happen to this, if it can happen to that, then it's like, it looks like there's so much fear. But you see, through the voice of your pastor, you can overcome the fear of that. Fear makes people act in the strangest of ways. Sometimes when somebody is afraid of losing something, he becomes insecure and starts to fight. That's what happens to dictators. When they come into power, nobody voted in them themselves. They came in and killed people, overthrew people. So they become paranoid and afraid of anyone doing exactly the same thing to them. That is why they start to kill people and eliminate people, and they are afraid of even their own shadows. Huh? Arrest him, arrest them, arrest that person. Same people who don't have anything to do, even churches who don't have anything to do with their politics, they become scared of the church. People who don't, if you take me for example, I'm the most non-political person you could ever find. Apolitical, I don't have any, I don't support MPP. Why should I support MPP? Oh, please. I don't support any of these people. They're all politicians. I support the truth. Bible said we cannot do anything against the truth, only for the truth. If you come and you do the right thing. One politician came up and said, "Listen, if you do the right thing, we support. If you don't do the right thing, we will blast you." That's all. That's all. Yeah, it's not a matter of whatever. I have no interest at all. I only have interest. If anybody knew, they really knew that, they will not be afraid. They will only be afraid for the truth. But people are scared. And because of that, now they start to fight even their friends. Even those who were helping them and supporting them, they start to fight. Because they are afraid. They're afraid of their shadow. They're afraid of losing the election. They're afraid of that. Afraid of this person. That's Abacha. That's why he arrested all these people. Arrested his right hand man. Arrest this person. Arrest this person. Kill this one. Kill people who have no power to do anything against you. You arrest them. This man, I hear he's the most wicked man in the world. Saddam Hussein. He has killed so many people. Everybody around him. It's because you have something and you're afraid that you might lose it. So fear, if you live around somebody who is afraid, man, it's not easy to live there. If you have a good thing and you think that you'll lose it, if you are married, you have a good husband, you have a good wife, you're afraid that you lose it. People become paranoid and start to fight things that are nothing just because of fear of the unknown, fear of losing what they have. And it is not easy to be around something like that. It's very frightening. Fear all the time, fear of losing what you have. If you have money or you have this or you have that, fear is a very evil. The Bible says that they are subject to bondage because of fear. Fear, 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 fear. Fear of death, so I won't travel. Fear of death, so I won't do. Fear of death, so I won't invest. Fear. If I was to follow fear, I cannot work anymore. I cannot work. I cannot sit on a plane. I cannot sit in a car. I cannot go to Takoradi. I cannot go to Kumasi. But you see, when you know the word of God, you decide not to be afraid of death. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Never be afraid of death from today. And remind me to tell, even if you have children, don't be afraid of death. I'll explain. Remind me if I forget it, because the time is short. Number one, the day that you live and the day that you die is already fixed. It's a date you can't change. Really. You can't change it. So why worry about it? You can't change it. Going or not going is not going to change that date. Serving God or not serving God, what you do per se is not going to change that date. Bible says in Job 14, let's read it, because some of you are looking at it, you don't really believe. Are you in Job? Job, go to 14. Uh-oh, where is my Job? Which page? All right. You are bad. Okay. You are right. 595. Okay, thank you. Now, chapter 7, verse 1. Quick. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Is there not an appointed what? Time. It's an appointed time. Turn to chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh like a flower. Are you there? And is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Verse 3. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. Verse 5. Very important. Seeing his days are determined. And then the number of his months are with thee. End of March, you used another of your months. Thou hast appointed his what? His bounds that he cannot pass. He can't pass that day. If you are born into this world and you are supposed to finish, your boundary has been set for 27 years. Unless there is a boundary change, which is sometimes happens, but it's fixed. He says that his days are determined. So if your days are determined, then you shouldn't worry. You know, people are afraid of death. That's why 31st December is the largest attended church service. Any discouraged pastor whose church members have not been coming should come to church for 31st. He will be encouraged, because people will come. People are so scared. Will I die this year? Will I prosper this year? Don't be afraid. So from today, when you know that, for me, when I sit in a plane or I sit in a car, I say, look, if I'm supposed to die today, I'm dead. I died already before I came to sit in a car. And if you're supposed to die, whether you sit in the car or you don't sit in the car, like I was saying, there was at my traffic light here, some people were parked at the traffic light at Odoko. And then they were just waiting. They had stopped red. A good person, you are waiting. And then an articulator came from behind and drove over the car. This one, the person is waiting to turn left or right or go straight, and just drove over. This one, the person is not on any highway. He's not in any plane. He's just moving somewhere. So I use the word of God to stabilize my mind. I said, I'm not afraid of death, because whatever is determined is determined. Secondly, I'm giving you more reasons, because it's determined. That's why, and that's the word. How many are no more afraid of the day? You get it? Because it's a fixed day. Secondly, heaven is better than earth. And when you go there, you will not like to come back. Now, do you know that Paul said, I am undecided to stay here? You know why? Because he had been to heaven before. Anybody who sees the place will not like to come back here. I saw a vision of one of our brethren who died, when he died. Because I was praying and I said, Lord, talk to me. And the Lord showed him to me, going up there, holding a briefcase. And I saw him going. And the way he was going is like somebody who is going to America at the airport with a briefcase. You can't tell the person, come back and stay. He wouldn't like it. And I realized that where he was better. So, for me, it's better to be there than to be here. After all, we are now a hippic. And there's no hippic nation in heaven. Amen. So, it is better. Then somebody will say, oh, but what about my properties and my this and my that? Brother, they will decay. You have nothing. Look, you see my grandfather's house. When you are going this way, Agbado Chambers, it was the house of houses. You know, when Saddam Hussein said, it's going to be the mother of all wars. That was the mother of houses. But today, if they give you a nice land at this Jamestown, that you should go, you wouldn't even like it. All your riches and everything will become. So, what about my children? Children, God is the father of the fatherless. He will look after your children better than you can look after them. He will look after your wife and your husband better than you can look after them. I've come to find out that is true. I remember when one of our pastors died, I met one of the Christian doctors then. He began to minister to me. Because the pastor was dead, I was standing by his body, and he began to talk to me. He said, look, people may be saying, what is going on? Why is this person dead? And this and that and that and that. People who are not mature don't know. And he said that death is part of life. He said that I've had people who are better than me, better Christians, ministry, and they die. And I asked myself, why am I here? Why is this person alive? He said to me, death is part of life. People don't know that. And it's true. That's why you are not allowed to be a president or anything until you are 40. That's why they say life begins at 40. Because by the time you are 40, you'd have seen a lot of things. You'd be more mature. Then he went on and he told me, my father died. He told me, my father died when I was in my mother's womb. He said, perhaps if my father was alive, I would not even have become what I have become, such a great surgeon. God looked after him. God blessed him. Because God is the father of the father, the husband of the widows. So even if you go and you leave somebody behind, trust God. Those who are there, they are not worried. They are having a good time. So through the word of God, you see, when unbelievers die, it's a hopeless situation. But we have the voice of the shepherd talking to us. So there's hope. Man, I've had to talk to widows. I said, I've had to talk to widows. I've had to stabilize people. You don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've been through. Man, I've sat on the bed. When people look at me and say, Bishop, are you afraid? Person, are you afraid? And I was afraid. He said, are you afraid? I was afraid. I said, no, I'm not afraid. He said, are you afraid? And she told me, I'm not going to die, okay? I said, amen, amen. But within 2 weeks, she was dead. I've buried people's wives. I've buried people's husbands. I've been with the widows when they... I don't want even to remember. But God will look after you. So... When you think of all this, you just relax. You don't even worry. You're not under bondage anymore. God, the voice of your shepherd has come telling you that there's no need to be afraid anymore. Yea, though you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, you are not afraid anymore. Because his rod has stabilized you, his word, and the stability of his word, of the future, there's hope. Man, you are encouraged and you are stable. And you don't have to be afraid. Say, what will happen? What about this? What is that? Man. Because his word has stabilized you. How many are encouraged by the stability of his word? You know what? Our time is up again. We'll continue next week. All right. Well, you don't want to stand?
I want to join the fourth service. His word will stabilize you. I said, that's why you need the voice of your shepherd. You know more. You are okay. Fear. Fear of the unknown. How many want to know the future? The future is in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely. Not maybe, surely. Surely, he picks shall follow you all the days of your life. Surely, what shall follow you? Goodness and mercy. You don't have to be afraid of the future. We know the future. We know that surely. Somebody asked me, what does tomorrow hold? I want to go and read the palm and know the future from a juju man. No, you don't need a juju man. All you need is Psalm 23, verse 6. It says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means Monday, Tuesday. It means Easter. It means the year 2000, 2001, and 2005. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Just thank the Lord for his word today. Thank him that there is no fear that can keep you. You have victory over fear. Victory over the day, over the night. Victory over every fear of anything that may come against your life. Fear of the future. Fear of tomorrow. What does tomorrow hold? Somebody said, tomorrow is goodness and is mercy and is all the days of my life. I thank God for his mercy and his kindness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Mandoraba, Barasite, Perelo, Sabola, Peledege, Klegaramo, Soprovele, Rebecene, Srebalara, Moseta, Barelene, Sebrefe, Krabolare. Fear, fear, fear is broken in your life today, says the Spirit. Fear of the unknown, fear of devils, fear of witches, fear of every evil is broken in the name of Jesus. Look at me in a moment, please. I sense I should tell you this thing. You know, those who are afraid of witches and wizards, from today, know the word of God. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, you shall take up serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I've had people introducing themselves to me as witches. I've had people telling me this man has done this juju against me. I've had people who've come to the church to tell me the agbala that they've done against me. And I just say, none of these things can work against me. That's what the Bible says. None of them will work against me. We are sitting in the blood bank of the witches. But none of these things have any harm against us. Because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He will deliver us from us. We shall be where the enemies are. We shall be eating. And they will see that the Lord has been good to us. Look, from today, there's no fear that should get. Don't say, I can't turn off the light because I'm afraid. When I turn off the light, something is coming. Nothing is coming at all. You have victory over the fear. I say you have victory. Father, we thank you for your word today. Bless your people. We cast out every spirit of fear, every evil power of torment, of bondage that frightens us and torments us. And we say that it's broken from today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Raise up your hand. God bless you. Raise it up high. God bless you. Lift it up high. Pastor, I want to give my life to God. Okay. If you've lifted up your hand, you want to give your life to Jesus, come to the front. Come to me right here. I'm going to stand right here and wait for you. God bless you. The rest of you may be seated. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.